Dear friends, welcome to another PICCAST, the podcast series by MSD Animal Health. I'm Ruben Del Pozo, I'm the Technical Director for Swine in Europe, working for MSD. And today we are proud to talk to a beloved Danish veterinarian. He has been our colleague at MSD Animal Health for many years until he decided to fly on his own and become an independent swine consultant and hoof vet. And he is John Ohigard. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Yeah. And you?
Perfect. Yeah, not so bad. Thank you. Thank you. So let's start with a small introduction. Who is John Ohigard and how did you decide to create Hoovet?
Well, I'm an old guy. I'm 64 and been working with swine ever since I graduated in 1985 from Copenhagen University. And I worked in a mixed practice and different areas including some swine. And then in 1992, I became a partner in practice, a mixed practice with mainly horses. And then we discovered that we were five veterinarians working in Zealand, the small part of Denmark with where we have the minority of the pig production, but we were five veterinarians working, being in mixed practice, and we decided in 1995 to start developing a cooperation. And that is what later became, when I skipped practice in 2006 and joined MSD, this was the basis for establishing a pure swine company with these five or six veterinarians.
Yeah. Nice, yeah. Today impressive, a very long career.
Sorry?
Impressive, a very long career so far.
Yeah. It's been quite some years, yeah.
And still a lot to come.
Yeah. Yeah. Today we are working 12 people in Uvet, and have a lot of European contacts and a lot of different jobs. Not only swine advisory service, but also research and things like that.
And you give advice not only in Denmark but also in other European countries. I understand.
Yeah. I think we travel to 13 different European countries and give advice.
Okay, nice. Sounds quite busy for you.
Yeah, it is.
I like to remember those days when we worked together in the UK, when you were part of the MSD team and we were there sitting, if I remember well, half a year or something like this. And what do you keep from that time?
Well, despite meeting you and getting to know you, it was very good. I remember most of from the technical side, and that was right before we were launching the Lausonia vaccine in MSD. So we had a lot of focus on that, despite that we couldn't talk to customers about it yet. And that was generating a lot of hype in the market, I think. What we did, and I remember the most was our work with leptospirosis in the sow herds, actually, and following up on our the MSD vaccine on lepto.
That was very nice time. We had a lot of fun. So maybe it's time here to send greetings to the UK team that we are listening.
Yeah, good. Yeah, hello.
And do you have any hobbies to distract you when you are free in your free time? We were speaking about John Ohigard as a practitioner, but we would like to know also as a John Ohigard when he's in his free time.
Yeah, I'm a hunter, so I do a lot of hunting. I have, while I had my kids home, I had to put hunting on a little in the background, but now I started again hunting, and I have a small area, and both in Sweden and in Denmark, where I do some hunting. Nowadays, it's a little difficult to hunt in Sweden with the African swine fever.
African swine fever, indeed.
Yeah, we need to consider what we do there. Yeah, and then I have 5.5 grandkids, so it takes some time as well. And then I do I'm engaged in some church life where I do some work as well. My free time. Yeah.
It's also a very busy agenda for your free time.
Yeah, it is.
So let me go back to that John Ohegar in professional life and ask you a question that normally I ask for most of our guests. Is how did you get into the veterinary science? Was this a love at first sight, or why did you study veterinary science years ago?
It was actually love at first sight. I was in in the ninth grade. I went a week out of school and followed a veterinarian, and from that time off, I decided I want to be a vet. And that was all the way through high school. I was focusing on having sufficiently in grade to be, get access to the university to become a vet.
You had clear idea it was a vet or a vet for pigs, or pigs came a little bit later?
I just wanted to be a rubber boot vet, like, you know, the old story from UK.
Yeah,
just driving around, and that was my main target, to become a practical veterinarian. Yeah,
nice. Thank you for sharing with us.
Yeah, and then later when I joined the pig industry and became a part of the SPF control, I really caught this pig idea, and ever since 1989, I've been only working with pigs, actually.
Yeah. And do you plan to, I hear from you that you are planning to open a new company. Could you explain a little bit more about that?
Mm-hmm, yeah, we are currently working with a Norwegian company who provides biochar made by pyrolysis and 650 degrees warming up of dead tree. And that seems to be very efficient in post-weaning diarrhea, this is one of the solutions we work on, and we are working on building a small company that sells that at a European level.
Okay, nice. We can go back, come back that later to that.
Yeah.
Sure, because this will be mainly the core topic of our discussion today.
Exactly.
The removal of zinc oxide and how to manage diarrhea in the post-weaning period. But before we move into that, I would like you to list the main challenges that the EU producers, the European producers and vets are facing nowadays.
Post-weaning diarrhea is definitely one of the large topics, I would say this is the number one since we removed zinc oxide, and then what follows here, the streptococci that the Klebsiella that becomes active and get in via the intestine and infect the pigs. That is a huge topic and almost discussed at every visit.
Yeah, African swine fever is also breaking down in Sweden a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. And there we are from a Danish perspective. We are very lucky that we have this fence to the German border. So we actually currently we do think that we have no free living wild boars in Denmark.
In Denmark,
and that is creating a lot of safety in with African swine fever. Yeah, in Sweden they have more than 400,000 free living wild boars, and they have forest all over. So they are really having problems now.
Problems, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. And in relation with this big challenge that you mentioned, the post-weaning diarrhea and the zinc oxide, this brings to my mind the situation of Denmark. Denmark has been always a pioneer country in Europe when we speak about swine production. You have very innovative policies like the yellow card to reduce antibiotic use, to reduce antimicrobial resistances. So what is the situation nowadays in Denmark regarding these topics, antibiotics, antimicrobial resistance, and the ban of zinc oxide?
Well, we had in 2018 there was a demand from the politicians that we should reduce by 2% every year in 5 years until 2022 the consumption of antibiotics for pig production. And we so that means completely an 8% reduction from the 41 mg per kg we were using at that time. And we came out with having reduced 3.5% and a reduction in the pig production of 10%, 15%, between 10 and 15% in last half year of 2022. So definitely we didn't meet the demands from the politicians. And that is mainly due to the removal of the zinc oxide, because it's only in the weaners that we have had an increase in consumption.
Yeah, that makes sense. And maybe for our audience for them to understand better, could you explain why zinc oxide is banned in Europe? What are the main reasons for this ban?
I do believe that it's two things. It's the environmental pressure of having a too much zinc in the slurry that is brought out, and then the other topic is that it generates antibiotic resistance in the same manner as antibiotics do, and there is a lot of cross resistance demonstrated. So actually, I do believe it's a wise thing. We were using 685,000 tons of zinc oxide in Denmark. That's three times, or is that six times, more than six times the amount than we used in completely used in antibiotics. Having one product that is generating resistance used at that amount is really, yeah, it's a. Can create something dramatically,
Yeah, and nowadays that the public opinion leads a little bit in some way or push the livestock production to be more efficient, more sustainable, and more sustainable. This is a hot topic that ourselves we need to take care of and be responsible in this perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that is the main reason why we cancelled it. Yeah.
Yeah. And why was the zinc oxide used before for enteric pathogens, for diarrhea? Which were the main use of this product?
Yeah. We don't fully understand the complete action of zinc oxide, but we know that it regulates the E. coli infection pressure and sort of stabilizes the intestinal content, especially towards E. coli, and that is the main reason for having used it.
Yeah. I agree with you that we still don't know the fully mechanisms of protection for the zinc oxide. There are some studies saying that there is a better microbiota balance, they increase also the integrity of the gut permeability, the tight junctions, some effect on nutrient absorption, but we still lack a lot of information. So in here, in relation with it, I want to ask you the next question. Maybe if we will understand better the mechanism of action of this product, we will be able to find a product that will replace the zinc oxide itself. What do you think about
Yeah, maybe, but I do think that if we look for the efficacy of zinc oxide, it will be something that is also generating resistance. Somehow it will generate resistance. So what we really need to do is focus on regaining the microbiome and having a healthy microbiome all the way through the production of the pigs. And then having sufficient maternal derived immunity and immunity developed by the pig individually against these things that causes diseases.
I have the feeling that just before the ban of the zinc oxide, many of us, when we were thinking about to replace this product, we were always having in mind that we should get a new product to replace the old one, the zinc oxide. But when now, 1 year after this ban of the zinc oxide, when we listen to the experts, it's mainly what you mentioned before, that we need an holistic approach, management, winning stress, antimicrobials, vaccination, immunity, good colostrum intake, the nutrition of the sow, the nutrition of the piglet, water quality, many things of this. So, and there are nowadays developed many strategies and the use of many products to support the piglet during this first life. So I would like you to go a little bit more in detail about this sentence that was said by Benjamin Franklin years ago. By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. So that means that, or in this context, I want you to mention the biggest key points that we need to take into account before weaning. So in order to prepare the piglet for weaning, what do we need to do during the lactation period?
There are two things I would like to highlight, and one is maternal derived immunity. Make sure that it has immunity against what it meets after weaning. It might be that the antibodies is a very, very low level when it's weaned, but just a small amount of antibodies will generate some kind of immunity. That's one thing, and then the other thing we have in which is evident in Denmark is the development in litter size, where we have 19.5, 19.6 born alive in average in a
That's a
pig
lot.
farm. So we have 13, we have between 25 and some have 40% faster sows, which generates a lot of spread of the diseases, and also we wean a lot of small piglets because we have developed a strategy where we can actually keep a lot of those small piglets alive. So we have a lot of farmers who wean pigs at 3, 3.5 kilograms when they are 24, 25, 26 days old.
Yeah.
And those pigs, they are susceptible.
Yeah. So the creep feeding maybe here is it could be useful during these first weeks.
The creep feeding.
Creep feeding or to give some supplements, some lactation milk replacements to the piglet during the lactation period.
That's of course one of the choices. But I think the industry need to consider the number of born alive they want, and sort of start going the other way, and maybe say 19.5 born alive is absolutely the limit, and there we have some discussions with the pig industry, because I know that from a climate perspective, the more you can get out of a sow, the better. So there are contradictions on what you want here.
Yeah, I see your point. Yeah, indeed, we cannot push maybe the nature to produce more piglets than this, but just to focus on produce what good quality pigs with enough kilos at weaning and enough sufficient age at weaning, so the animals will survive later and grow properly.
And then there the public focus is on mortality. So all pig farmers, they are reluctant to kill the small piglets, because if they start killing the very small piglets, then the mortality will increase, and that doesn't look so good on paper. But it's from a veterinary perspective, you could say that animal welfare is a question of how the pig is living, not if it's dying or not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's sometimes that we personalize the animal from our human perspective of the welfare of the piglet, but we need to take into account the whole picture and the really welfare of the animal.
Yeah.
So those were very nice tips before weaning. So the preparation of the piglet to be ready for that stressful time. What other tips can you share with us for the moment of the weaning? Like for example, age at weaning is correct. What other the procedure of the weaning during the first hours? What are the tips that you can share with us that you use in Denmark?
I would love to say that higher weaning age would be what we should aim for, but I'm not completely sure that it will solve the issues, because we have even 28, 35 days weaning have diarrhea, and we have had a lot of organic farms who wean at 7 weeks and they have diarrhea as well. That said, there's no doubt that the older the piglet is, the less it will be susceptible to post-weaning diarrhea. So we might look into increasing the weaning age. However, there is a lot of other things that need to be done. And feeding strategy is one. Reduce the protein level significantly, down to 100 grams, 10% digestible protein for the first 10 days or something like that, and maybe also even longer in if 18 infected herds, and then of course there's a lot of additions you can do, high quality protein, milk powder, you said it before, all these kind of highly digestible products that are not affecting the intestine.
Yep.
And then of course there is, and if we can come back to the company that we are building, adding different things to the feed, acid in the water, things like that. And then we are exploring now this biochar solution, and it's definitely not an exchange of zinc oxide, but it can reduce the mortality, and it can increase the average daily gain post weaning. We have demonstrated in trials, and you still need to have antibiotics to treat the diarrhea when it occurs.
Yeah, it's true. From an ethical point of view, we still need to treat the animals that are sick, and we cannot leave them to die. So.
No. That's true. So it's not a zinc oxide, but it's close to doing the same thing.
Yeah.
This biochar, Norwegian. We're selling it through a company called Ubio.
Ubio
DK. You can find it.
Yeah. Looking forward to see that in the market and
and
the characteristics of this. Thank you for this good news also.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning about the age of at weaning, that sometimes is, even if you move at 35 days of weaning at 35 days of life, you still can see diarrhea, but the piglets are more resilient. So this is maybe something that we can learn from the nature. In the nature, the weaning is something gradual. It goes up to 10 weeks. Of course, in peak production, we cannot go to wean at 10 weeks of age. This will not be sustainable, but maybe we can learn some tips from the nature there, just the, giving the animals enough time to explore, to develop the behavior of routine, eating already some solid feed during the lactation, so the gut and the microbiome is already adapted for the post-weaning period. Those kind of things, I think we can still learn a lot from the nature. Yeah.
Actually, we have in Denmark an organic farmer who is weaning at 10 weeks of age and have highly successfully weaning at 10 weeks of age with no treatments against the post-weaning diarrhea. And, he's not a small farmer. He has 1,600 organic sows. So it's definitely something that is looked into.
Yeah, that's a very nice example that this can be done, and you need only to look for the way to do it.
Yeah.
Perfect. So I think we are almost about the end of this podcast. I will like to you giving us a last take-home message. Is there any silver bullet to replace zinc oxide, or do we need to focus on an holistic approach? What is your take-home message for this topic?
I do believe that it's a palette of things you need to invest in. It's something about having a ready pig to be weaned, a pig that's ready to be weaned with a high immunity, and then you can use you need to use a feed that is meeting the requirements of the pig. It's easy digestible with low protein content. And then you can start adding. You need to have acid on all of your water, and especially if you are feed wet from the weaning, you need to have a focus on the pH in the wet feed. That said, it will not solve the issue, because if you have the F4 F18, it will break through all these barriers. And there you need to be ready to have your antibiotic. Managing the microbiome is a key here.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for this take-home message and for all your time. Dear John, time runs too fast when talking with friends. I enjoy a lot having this opportunity to spend some time with you again, and thank you for sharing your kindness and wisdom with us, and I hope to see you again soon.
The same. Thank you very much for the ability to participate here. It was great to see you again. Enjoy.
It was a pleasure, John. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dear listeners, this has been another episode of the PIGcast series by MSD Animal Health. Thank you for your time and interest, and we hope to meet you again in another PIGcast. Take care, and bye for now.